This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Ben Standing is with us every Monday and Friday. He is our Washington Commanders insider. You can follow Ben on Twitter, X at Ben Standig. You can read him in The Athletic. I do. I'm a subscriber. And Ben's got a really good podcast that you can listen to called Last Man Standig. So here we are. We're 3-1. Before I get to what you wrote, because I was interested in what you wrote and talking to you about what you wrote, other than the rookie for this franchise, what other rookies have played well? They had a lot of draft choices in the top 100. How many of them are playing well?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you. Hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. It just broke up for a second there. Yeah, the other rookies. It's all been in sort of spare moments, right? I mean, Mikey Sanders still has played a fair amount. You know, he's obviously had some ups and downs, gave up that touchdown to Jamar Chase, et cetera. But I feel like in his case, it's more like, he's good, and they're having to use him at a position because they've got, at times because they've got weaknesses elsewhere. But, his mindset, his approach, his sort of fearlessness, I think, is the type of thing that they're looking at, and the rest of it, I think, work out over time. Luke McCaffrey's had some good moments, right? I mean, he had a big catch there against the Bengals. He's had some other ones as well. But, again, the receiver room, as we know, it's been sort of, just shuffling week to week, depending on, who Cliff Kingsbury to some degree sees as the guy to step up more. I think Brandon Coleman, he's had a couple of good weeks here in the row. I still assume it's a matter of time before he eventually is just the guy at left tackle. But, Cornelius Lucas has been fine as well. So, anyway, Johnny Newton, he had some good moments, I thought, in the Cincinnati game. He led them in tackles that game before, even though he only played like 21 snaps. So I think, those guys have all shown some good things. It's just, it hasn't been necessarily like a full-time or starring role for the most part. I think there's a chance Jordan McGee is back this week. He's obviously missed the year with a knee injury. He was a guy that was really impressing me back in summer before he got hurt. And I think Ben Sinnott, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's like he's been really close, it feels like, a couple of times to some significant plays, and I think eventually that works itself out. But right now, you've got Ertz and Bates kind of filling the main roles, which is understandable. So, I think they've been fine, and I think if they weren't 3-1, and it was the opposite, and we're like, okay, this is a rebuild kind of season, I think they're all progressing fine. There's a little more notice because it's like, hey, this team might be actually good this year. Are they going to get more from these guys? And that'll be what we have to see over the next few weeks.
Are we going to see Jordan McGee on Sunday?
We'll find out here in a little bit. I mean, it kind of feels like I'm going to guess we will, or at least he'll be active. That's my guess. Yeah, I don't think he was like that far away from being able to play when he was put on IR. He'd already been out for a few weeks at that point, but obviously they decided, you know, not to rush him and, let him heal up. So I would guess he's there. And I think, you know, there's so many moves happening all the time, but I think with Crowder going to IR, I think that opens up a roster spot. And, you know, I think he's the one that would make the most sense of the guys that just open up the practice windows for to get out there.
We're approaching the quarter pole here to the season. Other than Jaden Daniels and the offense just overall, what else has surprised you?
We're at the quarter pole, right?
A 17-game schedule, so the quarter pole will technically happen, during the game on Sunday.
Close enough. I already wrote a quarter pole story, so that's why I had my guy.
Oh.
Close enough. All right.
Yeah.
It's fine. So what else besides Jaden Daniels has said? You're saying?
What's surprised you on the positive front, other than this historic start to a quarterback season by a rookie?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think just to that end, I mean, yes, the Jaden Daniels part is what we're focused on, but just the offense as a whole. I mean, you know, obviously everything's different from a year ago, right? But last year, even though they did have some games where they, Sam Howell put up some good stats, you know, this is just a completely different deal. And with Cliff Kingsbury, like, he is clearly, unlike the previous OC, is clearly has a better understanding of his personnel and what needs to happen here. You know, despite the fact that Jaden Daniels is having this great start, they're not asking to throw the ball 40, 50 times the way it was happening a year ago. They're leaning into Brian Robinson, who was here last year. And, you know, they're running the ball not just effectively, but they're running it a fair amount. So I think that just the whole offense as a whole, the offensive line, I would say as well, the last two games in particular have been very sharp for a group that we obviously were unclear as to how good they would be, or if they would just be an actual weakness. I mean, I do think that these next two games for the offense are very interesting because they're much better defenses than they have faced. So let's see, you know, the numbers are going to come down one way or the other, but, you know, are they still as effective both as blockers, scoring, et cetera? Beyond that, you know, in terms of surprises, I don't know. I mean, on defense, obviously, except for last week, it's been still kind of a mess. You know, some of the guys that are standing out positively are like Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner, Quan Martin a little bit. And, you know, I mean, for the most part, those were guys that I figured would be sort of positive. So I think the defense is still the big mystery for me. And I guess you could say, to a degree, Austin Seibert, right? I mean, you know, it wasn't that long ago that we're like, well, are they going to find a kicker? They're going to have one. And now we don't even mention it because he hasn't missed yet. And he's been pretty, you know, very reliable. So just the fact that that's off the topic, we're not even discussing the kicker right now, is a surprise from where we were not that long ago.
Yeah, I mean, the defense, the question was going to be biggest disappointment, but you used it as a surprise question, which is fine. I think the offensive, like, let me ask you this, because you mentioned the O-line. I think that's been, I mean, Next Gen's got him as the number one run block win rate team in the league, number eight in pass block win rate. So that's been a surprise. Clearly, coordinator, quarterback have a lot to do with how much better it's looked. But in terms of the offensive, you know, start, which has been amazing, if you were to slice it up in sort of a pie, you know, chart of crediting success, how would you break it down? Who'd get the biggest slice of credit? Who'd get the second biggest slice of credit, et cetera, by percentage?
Oh, I mean, you know, Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury have the big pieces. I don't know if that's, 40 each. I mean, with Jaden, it's more than just the actual play. It's what it represents, that this is actually, they may actually have a guy that can, you know, carry them for the next decade or whatever. And obviously that is the most intoxicating part of all of it. But like I said before, the fact that Kingsbury has come in and, you know, not tried to just say, this is what I'm doing, damn it, I don't care what we have. I mean, again, the receiver room, other than Terry McLaurin, is, you know, a lot of, you know, guys who could do specific things, but mostly bit part type guys who wouldn't be viewed as like starters on other teams, right? You have tight end, you know, Zach Ertz is he's been a good player, but, you know, and the injury will be a question. But, you know, he was kind of left, you know, left for dead on the side of the road in terms of the NFL as a starter, right? I mean, the Cardinals just flat out cut him last year. And when the Lions picked him up late in the year, they just stayed on their practice squad. So the fact that he's come in and been a viable guy, I think my point is that I think Kingsbury has done a really good job of figuring out what he has and how to make it work. And I wrote before the season that, you know, for all the talk about what fancy plays he's going to come up with or how's he going to help Jaden, like for this thing to really work, he's going to have to be at his tactical best. And I think so far he has been. I do think, though, it's fair to note that the team themselves said that the biggest advantage they'll have going into the year is the unknown. Like, teams don't exactly have a feel for what they're going to be doing. Now, at some point, whether it's this week or in the coming weeks, you know, somebody's going to try something different. We'll see how they react. But, you know, I don't know. I'd probably go 50 Jaden, 40 Cliff, 10 Brian Robinson, just because of what Robinson represents as the the aggressive part of the offense. His ability to keep the chains moving and all that, you know, is what's helping this dual threat scenario work. And that really helps, obviously, the quarterback and the offensive line.
I think I'd go much higher on Jaden. I think it'd be more like 70 with Cliff at, you know, like 15 or 20, and then kind of a mix, but probably the offensive line next. Because I think the offensive line, where it's really been obvious, although it was great pass pro last week, but in the run game, it's been very good. But it's also a scheme that really benefits the run game. But I think they've blocked really well. We're talking to Ben Standing, of course. You wrote yesterday, with Commanders off to a surprising start, how aggressive should they be in the trade market? And you wrote in your opening paragraph, and I think it was so spot on, that it's premature for them to be aggressive buyers, but the fact that we're even having that conversation is actually the story, you know, that it's possible they could be. So I'll ask you, when would it be appropriate, when would it not be premature anymore for them to think about being aggressive as buyers, and then for what?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, let's see what happens in these next two games, right? I mean, because not even so much, I mean, you know, you can't lose them both, but at least if you split, you're 4-2 going into a stretch where you have Carolina at home, the Bears at home, at the Giants, and then Pittsburgh at home. Other than Pittsburgh, all those teams have 500 or losing records, I think, right? So, like, there's an opportunity there to be like, hey, we can really start moving here. That said, you know, the defense to me would have to look so much better than what we've seen for anybody to realistically think that this is a team that's like a real playoff contender. I mean, I'm not dismissing what the offense has done, but like I said, let me see what happens once the other rest of the league starts making adjustments and tweaks, and they actually play better defenses. You know, the Bengals and the Cardinals are two of the, you know, lower ranked defenses in the league. But in terms of like what should they actually do? I mean, I'm of the belief they should probably do almost nothing in terms of like a big trade. I know Devontae Adams is the topic of the week, and you know, again, we'll get the point to, hey, Washington doesn't have an obvious receiver outside of McLaurin. I just don't see that they're going to pay this guy the money it would take, even if they rework his contract, to keep him long-term. And as a one-year rental, it just doesn't make any sense to give up what the Raiders surely would want, well, at least probably a third-round pick. I mean, if there's things on the, you know, can you get a cornerback, you know, right, who maybe can help your cause for a late third day three pick? Okay, you know, maybe you roll that dice. But beyond that, I just still, to me, this is still a long-haul scenario. This is still a big picture. And in talking to some people around the league, like former executive, personnel executives, et cetera, you know, I was like, hey, you know, the question you just asked me, at what point do you look at, if you're them, do you look at this and say, hey, we should do something? Because you never know when a contention opportunity comes about. And they generally were like, I probably wouldn't bother. They still have too many things they need to do. And if you're talking about to trade for a player of notable impact, but that means at least giving up a third, and this team just has too many needs for the long haul, and that's how they're building it. So I don't think they would do anything. I don't think they should do anything. But, you know, like I said, you come out of these next 2 weeks still looking pretty good, and now you've got this nice stretch coming up, and to say the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants are still kind of, you know, having their own specific soap operas, you at least have to have the conversation in ways I would not have imagined when the season started.
Yeah, I think the next 2 weeks, too. That's what I talked about earlier in the week, is that, you know, you beat Cleveland, you either beat Baltimore or you lose in a close game, but it becomes very apparent that you're a legitimate division favorite, or certainly one of them, and you got a chance to maybe play a home playoff game, and what you really need is just better defense. Then I think you start looking on that side of the ball, and, you know, in terms of expense, we'll see who's available and what it costs. We're talking to Ben Standing, of course. All right, back to Sunday.
Can I just add one more thing to that equation?
Sure.
So, like, I tweeted that earlier. Like, people in response to my story were like, well, what do you mean? Like, why can't they go do it now? I mean, take advantage of Jaden's rookie contract. I'm like, well, the rookie contract thing is irrelevant now. That matters in the offseason when you can sign guys to free agent deals. Plus, right now, there's a very, very, very tiny pool of players. It's literally like Davante Adams, like maybe three other guys that are going to be of impact. That is not the good value. This is a seller's market in that regard. You want to be in a buyer's market where you have free agency in the draft. That's next year, like what the Texans did. Most of your bigger splasher moves by teams on the rise happen in the offseason. So to do it now, you'd have to be all in to win and 1,000,000% believe that this guy is going to help you, not just this year, but years to come. And like a 32-year-old receiver is definitely not that guy.
Yeah, that is my feeling on Davante Adams, even though, I mean, and I've, you know, the pushback where it says, you know, he's not going to help that much. Haven't you watched their offense? Well, that's absurd. Of course he would help. But I'm with you in that you're talking about a guy that is going to be acquired by a team that is desperate to win now or is in win the Super Bowl mode now. And that's not where this team is currently. 2 weeks at 5-1 with a win in Baltimore, it could feel a little bit different then, but at that point, I'd be thinking about defense. Because I mentioned, and I forget if we've talked about this week, but for those that haven't heard me say it, no rookie quarterback's ever won a Super Bowl or even participated in a Super Bowl. And the five that have participated and started in championship games all had great defenses. This is not a great defense. So there is a limit right now, historically anyway, on what this team could do. If they find themselves at 5-1 with a terrible defense, that's where I think I would look. But anyway, let's talk about Sunday. What's the Brian Robinson Jr. situation?
Don't know. We'll talk to Dan Quinn in a bit. I mean, we saw Robinson out on the field now, but we are not out there for very long, and I don't know. Yeah, I can't say for sure that he was doing much of anything. So we'll hear from Quinn in a little bit. I mean, the fact that Robinson is who he is, a tough guy, I would imagine, you know, probably have to be a legit injury for him to not
What is
play.
The injury? It's a knee injury, but what is it and when did it happen?
We don't know. Dan Quinn didn't mention it to us, and Cliff Kingsbury, you know, it was only one day. We didn't ask Kingsbury about it, so I don't know. But, you know, he's not walking. I didn't see Robinson's not walking around with contraptions on his knee or his leg or anything, so I can't imagine there's anything notably serious. And, you know, if it was, Schefter would have put something out there, right? So I don't think it's anything that significant. And
that was a bit of a shot from a local beat reporter.
Well, I'm just saying, if it was something of significance, we would have heard about it by now,
yeah,
One way or the other. So I don't think it's that. It's just, you know, look, they've also been just in general fairly cautious with some of their guys, and mm-hmm. It's understandable, right? I mean, it's still early in the year. You need him, and, you know, it looks like Eckler's trending to play. So not that you'd be like, okay, well, we have Eckler, so we can, you know, Robbins can sit. But to some degree, there's maybe a little bit of that. So we'll find out in a little bit here from Quinn what's going on. With that, Robinson also just hasn't been in the locker room the last couple of days when we're there, so that doesn't mean anything from the injury. It just means we haven't had a chance to ask him anything about it either. So, you know, hopefully it's no issue, but, you know, we'll see in a little bit.
There are other people on the injury report that haven't practiced, and that is Noah Brown and Nick Allegretti.
He's fine. He made a point to note to us he's not wearing a boot. Noah Brown, I think, is the one we're all kind of wondering about. Literally, Dan Quinn's walking up to us right now, so we'll find out in a minute.
Okay, so you got to roll. But I was just going to ask you real quickly, Marcus Mariota, is he going to be active this week?
I don't know. I don't know why you would rush it at this point.
Okay.
But we'll see.
You got to run. Do you want to give me a quick prediction before?
Commanders 24-20.
See ya. Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Ben Standig, everybody, out in Ashburn. Dan Quinn making his way to the podium. So we will have here in a few minutes, and we will give you that information, what he says about some of the injured players. If he says anything, you know, they do have to put out that injury report. You know, the injury report starts on Wednesday. You have to, you know, list as the participation either full, limited, or did not practice with a reason. You got to do that Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then we get to Sunday morning, and you've got to, you know, make your players active or inactive. All right, when we come back, smell test. 500 on the year. Got to get better. We'll do that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, team980.com. We're also free and live on the audio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Odyssey app. So, 500 on the year. I was 4-5 last week. Not so good on college again. Excellent on the NFL. 11-4-1 on the NFL over the last 3 weeks. I had a 2-0 week last week. Several of you have been screaming for me to stop giving out college games. That's not going to happen. But this was what Cletus Van Dam wrote as he gave us an Apple Podcast review. And if you listen to this show on, you know, Apple or Spotify, rate us and review us. And it's a big help for us. It's a big help for our salespeople. But give us 5 stars if you see fit to do so, and write a quick review. It's pretty easy on Apple. He gave us, Cletus Van Dam did, he gave us 5 stars, and he wrote, "Kevin, if your college picks represent the house, then you must be fronting the worst casino on the strip. Like the one in Vegas Vacation, where Clark and Cousin Eddie are down bad and playing guess a number between 1 and 10 against the dealer." Yeah, the Griswolds did that. "I understand the game, and I am doing this for entertainment purposes only, but I find I'm only entertained when I win. These plays aren't even close. I actually agree with your contrarian philosophy, but think your warm weather associates are steering you wrong. The Warm Weather Associates would be my offshore contacts. And yes, they are in warm weather climes. I suggest we stick, Cletus Van Dam continues, I suggest we stick with neighbor Nick and his approach and only go with the high-profile games that are painfully obvious public bait. Although, to be fair, the Penn State and Auburn plays, I had both of those teams last week, which I liked, he writes, fit this and still lost. The public isn't taking a meaningful stand on UAB Navy or Baylor BYU. They're not moving the needle. I feel like we're getting too cute here. But yes, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep up the good work. I like that because Cletus Van Dam clearly understands what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish here. Actually, I would suggest a couple of things. Number one, there is typically enough of a meaningful stand in some of these games to know, but there's always sharp money, which is a big part of it. Baylor, BYU, and UAB Navy last week were not close. Not even close. UCF, not even close. We got screwed on Auburn last week. Penn State, kind of close. Boise and Virginia Tech were the two winners. Yeah, a lot of you, again, I will emphasize this over and over again. And by the way, the neighbor Nick theory is my good friend Tim Murray and my conversation about our good friend Nick Ashew, who tends to bet kind of obvious favorites a lot. And so Tim once said a few years ago, he's like, Nick's like my neighbor that, you know, peers over the fence and says, you know, how the hell are the 49ers not favored against the, you know, the Seahawks? And, you know, then it's the neighbor Nick theory. You got to go against him. I've said this many times before. I swear to you, my college picks over the years aren't that much different than my NFL picks. I've won doing this 14 out of 18 years, whatever it is, 13 out of 18 years. And there have been some years where the college picks were much better. I would say overall, my NFL picks over a long period of time, a slight advantage over the college games. Look, it has been an absolute killer of a season so far in the NFL for the books, for the house. This is the number right now on underdogs of 5.5 points or more. They are 17-4-1 against the number. And you know that typically the smell test includes a lot of underdogs and often big underdogs, although there's only one sizable underdog this week. How about that, though? 17-4-1 against the spread, underdogs of 5.5 or more. You know the house has cleaned up on the NFL this year. Flip it over, and they've gotten, you know, really their hat handed to them in college football. So that will switch. You know, both will switch, I promise you. So there are some college plays this week. In fact, probably too many for some of you. So let's get started. There's a game tonight that fits the criteria. UNLV is a 6.5-point favorite currently over Syracuse. UNLV lost that, you know, the quarterback who left school, wasn't getting paid the NIL money. The guy they put in there played great. They blew out Fresno State in the first game, and they're laying less than a touchdown at home tonight against Syracuse. The public's pounding UNLV. I'll buy the 0.5 and take the orange plus the 7. Let's go to tomorrow. So North Carolina, I don't know if you've been following the heels here recently. They lost to JMU 70-50 2 weeks ago. They lost to undefeated Duke last week 21-20. They are 3-2 overall. They are playing Pitt, who is undefeated. Now, has Pitt beaten anybody? Well, they beat West Virginia. They came back to beat Cincinnati. I had Cincinnati that day. Pitt is laying just 3 in Chapel Hill. The public loves the undefeated team. I'll take UNC plus the 3 against Pitt. Florida State finally won a football game, you know, against Cal a couple of weeks ago. And they're playing, you know, at one point this looked like a pretty important game. Not so much anymore. They're playing Clemson. If you've followed Clemson here recently, after losing to Georgia, they've won 66-20, 59-35, and 40-14. They're absolutely rolling offensively. Florida State got blown out by SMU last week. This number's at 14.5. The public is just all over Clemson. There's sharp money on the Noles at home. I'll take the Noles plus the 14.5. I must be crazy to bet a team that cannot score against a team that can score. Okay, I gave out UAB against Navy last week. Sorry, I'm hitting 16 against a 10. It's Air Force plus 10 against Navy. The public really loves Navy. By the way, if Navy keeps winning and Army keeps winning, that could be the most significant Army-Navy game since, I don't know, post-World War II. That is in the running for it. Northwestern, Iowa, I'm sorry. God, this line is down. Wow, it was 20.5. It's down now to 20. But I see it at 19.5, 19 in spots. I'll take the 20. I wanted to buy the half point and take it at 21. Public loves Ohio State. There's a ton of sharp money on Iowa. Give me Iowa plus the 20. Northwestern against undefeated Indiana. The Hoosiers beat the Terps last week with a minus four turnover margin, and they won by 14. Not good for Maryland. Maryland's got a bye week this week. Give me Northwestern at home, plus the 14 against Indiana. I think Arkansas is much better than their 3-2 record suggests. Tennessee was awesome in their win over Oklahoma 2 weeks ago, so they've had some rest. Arkansas lost a close game to A&M. I talked to Denton about this earlier in the show. Arkansas is kind of a feisty team. They really had Oklahoma State dead to right with a big lead, lost in double overtime. They had Texas A&M down in that game, too, lost on the road last week, 21-17 in College Station. This line's been sitting there at 13.5, just begging for more and more Tennessee action from public bettors. I'm going to take Arkansas by the half point and take them at plus 14. We continue with college plays. Explain to me how Washington is favored over Michigan. Oh, yeah, you don't have to. They lost to Rutgers last week, okay? They lost to Washington State a few weeks ago. Their only wins are over Weber State, Eastern Michigan, and Northwestern. They're favored in Seattle against Michigan. Big game for Washington, their fan base. First true massive game in the Big Ten. Michigan comes in with two straight wins, you know, over USC and Minnesota. Actually, three straight since they lost to Texas. They can't throw the football. They literally cannot throw the forward pass. Michigan won a game against USC with 32 passing yards. Last week, they won a game against Minnesota with 86 passing yards. They are Washington is favored by 1.5. The world is betting the defending national champions. I'll take Washington and lay the 1.5. Few more games. Sorry about this. How is Georgia Tech favored by 9.5 points over a Duke team that is undefeated? This is the biggest head-scratching line of the week. All right, Duke is undefeated. Now, none of the games have been super impressive. They beat Elon. They beat Northwestern in overtime. They beat UConn in a close game. They beat Middle Tennessee State, and they came from behind last week to beat a bad North Carolina team 21-20. Georgia Tech right now is a 3-2 football team with a loss at Syracuse and a loss last week at Louisville. I expected Georgia Tech to be favored, but not by 9.5. I'll take Georgia Tech minus the 9.5 because the public can't believe it either. Texas Tech late night against the team that knocked off Arizona last week. I'll buy the half point at 6.5 at Arizona, Texas Tech. I'll buy the half point and take Texas Tech plus the 7. Arizona letdown spot, big letdown spot. They're a good team. They beat Utah on the road, but Utah did not have their quarterback. Cam Rising just, you know, I don't know what his deal is, if he's ever even going to play again in his, you know, eighth year in college football. But I'll take Texas Tech plus the points. That wraps it up in college. Let's go to Sunday. Look, it's a great NFL card overall. I mean, we get an early morning game with the Jets and the Vikings in London, Minnesota 4-0. The Jets coming off that hideous loss when Greg Zuerlein missed a field goal that would have given them a win. They lost 10-9 against a Bronco defense that is good. This line's been sitting at less than a field goal all week. It's at -2.5. Minnesota, one of the biggest public bet teams of the entire weekend. I will buy the half point and take the Jets in London plus the 3 on Sunday morning. It's always nice to have a little bit of action on that Sunday morning game. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets plus the 3. Then we go to the 1 o'clock window. Cincinnati's getting 2.5. That number's been sitting there all week, begging Baltimore. Hey, I can get Baltimore off that impressive win over Buffalo on Sunday night, less than a field goal against a Cincinnati team that actually, you know, won their first game, but it was a tight game with the Panthers. I like the Bengals. I like the Bengals to win that game outright. Buying the half point plus the 3. I'm not suggesting money line play here. This is all ATS against the number, against the spread. I'll take the Bengals plus the 3. Baltimore is a big public side. And the single biggest right now on the board that I have and the information I have, public team of the NFL Sunday, Washington at home laying the 3 against Cleveland. Washington's become a bit of a darling team here. The perception nationally is, wow, Jaden Daniels' offense punted once in 3 games. Just keep scoring on every single drive, 20 out of the last 22 drives. If you count the end of the Tampa game, I don't. But if you want to, it's 21 out of the last 23. We know what the offensive numbers have been. We know what the third down offensive has been. We know what the, you know, points per drive, all of the EPA numbers with the quarterback, and yet they're laying only 3 to a team who can't score, is 1-3. And the public better thinks it's going to be another big day for Washington's offense and Jaden Daniels. So, look, I am 64.5% coming into this season, lifetime on bets involving Washington, whether it's them I pick or the opponent. I've been on a Washington game twice already this year. I was on the Giants that did not get it done. They were getting, what were they getting in that game? Was it 2.5 in the Giant game? The Giant game was 1. It went off at 1. I had the Giants that did not win, but I had Washington in Cincinnati plus the 7.5. They won outright. So I'm 1-1 after coming into the season, 64.5% on games involving Washington. Unfortunately, I am on Cleveland. It doesn't mean Washington can't win the game. Doesn't mean they can't. I'll have my prediction coming up in about 10 minutes. And then in the late window, the Seahawks are a big favorite for the regular kind of public bettor. They're laying 6 right now. I'll take the Giants plus the 6. I'm looking for some 6.5 so I can buy it to 7. I don't see any of them out there right now. I see only 6s, so I'll take the Giants plus the 6 at Seattle. You know, these teams coming off emotional, you know, back and forth. That game Monday night in Detroit was, you know, pretty intense. You know, the Giants have had the long rest off the Thursday night game, which they had an opportunity, and they did. Losing to Dallas 20-15. You know, take that Minnesota game away. The Giants have actually been pretty competitive. It's not like they're a good team. I'm not suggesting that. But they certainly had a chance at Washington. They went and beat Cleveland, and then they had a chance against the Cowboys on Thursday night. So it's a long trip, but they're the rested team. You know, these short rest versus long rest games are often, you know, games that come through when you're betting, you know, the team on the longer rest. And in this case, you're getting one of those teams at 5.5 points or greater, and those teams are 17-4-1. None of those numbers really matter. I just think they're interesting. I'll take the Giants plus the 6. All right. Big smell test this week. A lot of college games. Apologies in advance. Syracuse tonight buying the half point plus 7 at UNLV. North Carolina plus 3 at home against Pitt. Florida State plus 14.5 at home against Clemson. Air Force plus 10 at home against Navy. Iowa plus 20 at Ohio State. Arkansas plus 14 buying the half point at home against Tennessee. Washington laying 1.5 at home against Michigan. Northwestern plus 14 against Indiana. Georgia Tech minus 9.5 against Duke. And Texas Tech buying the half point plus 7 at Arizona. On Sunday, early morning, Jets plus 3 against the Vikings. The Bengals plus 3 against Baltimore, the Browns plus 3 against Washington, and the Giants plus 6 against the Seattle Seahawks. All right. Cliff Kingsbury said something about the use of virtual reality. Remember we had, you know, Jaden Daniels talking about that in the offseason. We actually had a guest on the show that had worked with Jaden Daniels with that technology at LSU. Cliff Kingsbury, call him a fan. You'll hear why next, along with, of course, predictions for Sunday's game against Cleveland. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. The shows today and all week are brought to you by T-Mobile. Head to T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. Our guest today, Ben Standig, Scott Petrick, brought to you by our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We also had Denton call in with some college football stuff. So Denton today was a guest courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. So there is news from Ashburn. And the news is this. Eckler has been cleared. He will go this week. Brian Robinson Jr., no official word, but Dan Quinn said he's trending in the right direction, but they'll take it all the way to game day. Two players, however, have been ruled out. Cleland Farrell again and Noah Brown ruled out on Sunday for the game. Also, the three players who have been on injured reserve, on IR, whose practice windows were opened up this week, it's a 21-day period to activate them, Jordan McGee, Marcus Mariota, and Efe Obada. The team will decide over the weekend as to whether or not they'll be activated for the game on Sunday or if they will wait. Also, three team captains named. This is a week-by-week thing, the way Dan Quinn does it. And the three captains this week are Dorrance Armstrong, Jeremy Chinn, and for the first time this year, Jaden Daniels will be a team captain Sunday against the Browns. Cliff Kingsbury, we played a little bit of what Cliff said earlier about sort of the walkthroughs versus more classroom time. He was yesterday asked about some of these things that he's been using, some of the changes he's made. Remember the virtual reality tool that Jaden Daniels had been using at LSU that they got him here in Washington? Cliff was asked about how that VR tool has helped his quarterbacks on the field.
Yeah, I'm all in on it. I mean, it's an unbelievable technology. I compare it to like a quarterback flight simulator. I mean, they don't go get trained in real planes. They do their flight simulators every year or however often they have to do it. And he has that thing on all the time. He can see our reads, our routes. He hears my voice in it. So it's as real as you can be, getting like game reps. And your mind doesn't know the difference. You know, your mind thinks you're doing it. So it's been really impressive. I mean, I'm a huge component of it after being around him and watching how he utilizes it and just seeing how the game slowed down because of it.
Cliff Kingsbury, by the way, after he's done with coaching, does have a career in broadcasting if he wants it. A great voice he has. He was then asked about other skill position players and whether or not that VR tool can help other players other than just the quarterback. What he said was, yeah, it has helped some other players. He said that, the whole mantra is, a bunch of clips were cut up, but that other positions it has helped out with. other skill position players it has helped out with as well. So I don't know how many teams are using that VR tool. I think it's a product. It was a German manufacturer of that product. We had the guy from LSU who had worked with it with Jaden and said it was incredible. Washington went out and got it when they found out it was important for their number two overall pick. So I wonder if it's something that we could strap up and act like we're playing in an NFL game. Probably not. All right. Time for predictions for Sunday. Toby, by the way, is taking over for Chris, who needed to head out somewhere. Denton will be back on Monday. So Sunday, I think from a betting perspective, just the way my mind thinks with respect to sort of contrarian handicapping, I am a bit concerned about this game. This is an overwhelming belief that Washington's going to win this game by more than three. But it doesn't mean that they won't win this game by less than three. And I, right now, don't see this offense getting slowed down. But as I said at the beginning of the show, this really is the most interesting, you know, matchup so far for the offense this year. Todd Bowles had all offseason, but he didn't know what he was going to face. Week two, it's the Giants. You still only have one game on tape. And by the way, that game, the Tampa game, things have changed a lot since that Tampa game. Cincinnati was banged up. Arizona's just not a good defensive football team. And I thought weren't necessarily well coached throughout the game offensively or defensively. Jim Schwartz knows what he's doing. Cleveland's got talent. You know, it's funny. I've said the last 2 weeks, the most important, you know, thing to a Washington win is staying on the field offensively and keeping their defense off the field, which is what they've done the last 2 weeks, even though they did punt and turn it over for the first time, first times this year in their game against Arizona. I think other teams playing Washington now are going to look at, hey, we got to keep their offense off the field. I mean, when's the last time anybody suggested going into a game against Washington? What we got to do is we got to use our offense as our best defense. We got to keep that offense off the field. But that is really going to be the best way to slow them down, is if Jaden Daniels is on the sideline watching. I think it's huge if Brian Robinson Jr. plays. I think it's a bit of a concern if he doesn't. But last week we felt that way about Eckler, and here came Jeremy McNichols. I'd actually feel okay about Eckler and McNichols as the backs. Maybe Rodriguez as a third. We'll see. It sounds like Brian Robinson Jr. will be okay. The loss of Noah Brown's an interesting loss. He's been big. You know, he had that 3rd-and-13 catch, 12 yards, turn it upfield. He gets good separation. He's become a very kind of comfortable target for Jaden. But yeah, the best defense for teams against our offense is their offense to stay on the field. It's not what Cleveland does well, but they can run the football, and I think they are going to run the football. And I think that's going to make the game more competitive. Like, they're going to be surprisingly efficient and possessive of the ball with Ford, with the quarterback running. And you heard our guest Scott Petrick earlier say that Deshaun actually didn't play that poorly, and he's been playing a little bit better week by week. They do have some weapons in Njoku and Amari Cooper for sure. I think this is a close game. I think it goes under the total. I think Cleveland covers. But I think Austin Seibert comes through again at home with 5 field goals, including the game winner on the final play of the game. Washington wins 22-20. That would be 5 field goals and a touchdown. That would be an under, and that would be a Cleveland cover. But Washington gets to 4-1. Toby's in. Toby, do you have a prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to go with 27-20, Commanders. I feel like they'll be able to move the football because they have the last couple of weeks. But the main thing is you can't get into 3rd and obvious and let Myles Garrett just tee off on Jaden Daniels. So if they can keep out of 3rd and obvious, then I think they'll be all right. But, you know, I feel like Cleveland's going to be able to move the ball a little bit. Deshaun Watson figured some stuff out last week. You know, they'll put up 20 for the first time, but I think that Washington's offense is going to be enough. 27-20 Washington.
I mentioned earlier, Cleveland's got the worst 3rd-down offense in the league, and Washington's got the worst third down defense in the league. So that is going to be an interesting situation if they have third downs. And at the same time, on the you flip it around, Washington's number one offensively on third down, and Cleveland's been pretty solid. They are seventh in the league on third down defensively. 22-20, I got. Toby's got 27-20, Washington. Can't wait for Sunday at 1 to watch what he, as in number 5, does again. Let's hope the defense takes a step in the right direction. This is the least capable offense they have faced all season, and that would include the Giants, because there's no Malik Nabers on this team. I mean, Cooper's good, but he ain't Malik Nabers. Enjoy the football weekend. Back on Monday. Chris Russell's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.